Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome. It's Chris Williams in studio for Steve today. I have Dr. Alice Benton.
Hello.
Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hello.
All right. Hello.
And so, we're both wearing scarves too, so we're just going to keep matching here.
I love it. It's actually cool out here for Southern California.
It's cold, yes.
So it's cold. So I say cool because when I say that to the family back in Colorado, they're like, yeah, you don't have any idea.
Mm-hmm. Are you a Californian by birth, Jill?
I am.
Yes, I'm a rare native.
Born and raised.
My age group, yes.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I'm going to just jump in. Guys, ready?
Let's do it.
Ready, set, go. Let's go to Ann in San Jose, California.
Hello.
Hi, Ann. How are you doing?
Hello.
Hi, good. Thank you so much for taking my call.
No problem. How can we help you today?
So I will use this word fragmented because that's how I know how to explain how I feel inside.
Mm. That's so actually a good word. Fragmented is a good word to explain how you feel inside.
Okay. So that's how I feel inside. And I will give you an example. Sometimes I become, it's like I become a person who I think I don't want to be that person. And I think it's when I get triggered, and this happens especially with my family. So I have been avoiding contact with my family, but I want to heal and I want to move forward. I've been in counseling, and I have done EMDR,
but that's great.
So far I couldn't find an answer, or I'm not sure what the treatment, what's the best treatment, or what I should do.
Well, we need to find out a little more first, Anne. Your family hurt you very badly, didn't they? What happened?
Oh, it's so much, so much. All of us four, I have two sisters and a brother. All of us struggle with, my brother passed away, but all of us struggle with anxiety and depression. And at some point in our lives, we had suicidal thoughts.
Your parents
I'm not
were,
in that place right now.
Your parents were.
My sister is.
Your parents were abusive, weren't they?
Very extremely. I believe both of them have personality disorders. I have done plenty of research trying to find out what happened with them, why would they do such things, and that's my conclusion after many, many years of doing research.
And to feel fragmented after the kind of abuse you all have been through without even knowing any more about it is actually not uncommon. And you likely developed the skill of disappearing within yourself when you were undergoing abuse. And I think it's a God-designed mechanism, in fact, that saves us when we are not saved from what is taking place. Mm-hmm. And you're still dealing with the after effects of that. You probably know that with all the treatment you've been through. So when we come back, we're going to give you some additional solutions to try to help reunite these fragmented senses of yours that leave you feeling this way on the inside.
So thank you again for calling. This call, guys, Anne brings something critically important. because there is a magnet in us when we go back to our families that reverts back to our younger self. And her process is going to help us be who we are, even in the midst of challenging and stressful situations. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. And we're on the line with Anna, listening from San Jose. She is talking about how there's these different personalities, these different people, types of people that show up inside of her under stressful or painful situations.
And is that, Anna, is that what you're saying?
Yes, and I can see also this with many things, like when I have to make a decision, I changed my mind so much that it impairs my life, because I need to, make decisions. Why will I study? And then I change so much that it's a problem for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not only with my family, it's in many other areas as well.
Mm-hmm. And are you able to manage life well enough to hold down a job and to support yourself, maintain a home?
Yes.
Okay.
I do well at my job. Of course, good. I get stressed out sometimes, but I am 100% alone. One of the most painful things for me is that I have a group of people, because I have a big family, but I have to stay away from them for two reasons. One is how much they hurt me in the past, and it's not only my parents, but other family members. And the second reason is because I don't trust myself, because of the triggers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I might, say something, and then I feel terrible afterwards. That's not who I want to be, and I do want to heal.
Yeah. Yeah. So Anna, the just this recognition that the pain is not in the past. The pain continues to live mm-hmm. on. But in the past, what you were able to do, or what most likely you were forced to do, is be able to adapt to it, show up to it in different ways. So you had to become different things to survive the intensity of the abuse and the pain. And that was just you trying to cope and get through it. The fact that you do function so well in daily life is actually a testament to your strength.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we want to obviously help you figure out how do you, as you said, if all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put all the fragmented pieces back together again, how do we become a whole human being in the midst of surviving the disintegration, the fragmentation of a very, very painful childhood and family experience?
And Anna, part of the answer to that is working with a skilled therapist who can start to converse and get to know those different parts of you and get them telling their stories and talking together. And there's a particular form of therapy that Chris is going to talk about that does this very well.
Yeah, there is a it's called, the initials are IFS. It stands for Internal Family Systems. And that's just, again, one of those jargon words that we come up with, terms that we come up with in our field, but just means that we really, it's a great therapy that allows you to identify all of those different parts of you that were show up to survive pain and how to get them back to a unified self so that you can hold on to a core you, that you can show up with your values and with who you are and your identity wherever you are. And obviously, we're not going to ever be able to do that perfectly, but we want to keep being able to do that more and more.
Right. And I like to think of it as shifting self states. And so there are certain states that when you say, it's not me, right? And actually, all of the different states are you. They are you. at different moments. And so part of it is for you to own those different parts. Now, all by themselves, you don't like that, right? Because maybe it comes off too strong or in a way that another part of you would maybe do it a little softer. Mm-hmm. And so as you accept those different parts, then you have a greater sense of being able to modulate them.
And some of them need to be matured up because they are immature and they're reacting in a more childlike state that you don't approve of anymore. I in my experience, Anna, I've also seen a spiritual component to this because so much evil was perpetrated in your family that it leaves us vulnerable to spiritual warfare. And so entering into this with prayer, with rebuking in the name of Jesus, with getting into a prayer group, it also aids in the process.
And it makes sense that you also wouldn't trust yourself because when you're young and you experience such abuse at the hands of those that are supposed to teach you what it means to trust, well, then a child takes that on themselves. And so that's hard for you now to always trust yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so really, it's oftentimes us rejecting our different emotional experiences as well. So I can't be angry, I can't be hurt, or this happened long ago, so I shouldn't be sad, or I shouldn't be upset. But
when
it's
we're
real
triggered,
time.
We go to our most primitive self.
Yes, and our most primitive self, that lower part of the brain, does not tell time.
Right.
It doesn't have a clock. Everything is the present moment. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we have to understand is like it's happening in real time. There is a living drama continuing to play itself out that remains unhealed or not healed yet. And so we want to help you with that. So we are going, Anna, we're going to do a couple of things. I want to, again, encourage you to seek out a clinician, a therapist who specializes in IFS or internal family systems. We're going to send you the Emotional Freedom Workbook. And I also want to highly, highly encourage you to attend the Emotional Freedom Workshop.
Yeah, good suggestion.
And so that's coming up. Emotional Freedom Workshop is actually a one-day online workshop, January 22nd. And we cover a lot of things. We're going to cover depression and anxiety. We're going to cover trauma. But at the heart of it is just that, is that when we experience pain and suffering and difficulty in our life that remains unhealed, we live underneath the emotional experiences, meaning we live in subject to them. So if you're a person who you feel big in the world, you know, your feelings are big, your emotions are big, but they seem to dominate and overtake you. And you don't, you're kind of not able to find freedom. This is a workshop that invites you into that process to be able to build a relationship to your emotional life and then to be able to do something positive and productive with that. We, you know, we see this throughout the scripture. The Psalms are such an amazing gift to us. We see that there is an attunement to the internal world. When David says, "Why so downcast, O my soul?" He's really in touch with a depressive side of him and really seeking to address that. Jill, you have something?
No.
No.
I'm good.
You're good.
I do have something for you.
Oh, something for me. Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
What about me?
You too, Alice. No, you're on a good roll
there.
Don't let me interrupt.
And so again, you know, holidays are a great like litmus test for this, right? Because we carry a lot of expectations. We're bombarded with expectations. You know, it's probably why I love the movie Christmas Vacation so much. Because of everything going wrong. Of course, it's literally wrapped up in a bow and works out in the end. But for many of us, these holiday seasons, this holiday season and maybe some of the past, there hasn't been a bow and it hasn't wrapped up well. Mm-mm. But you still have to carry on with life. And that's what our resources are here to do, is to help you carry on
with life. To carry on and to make some new memories.
Exactly.
Right? We want to kind of add to the old. Instead of reliving the old all the time, we want to add some new ones in to help the old ones fade.
Yes. And so much of our life, there is our family of origin, the family that we're born into. And then there is the family that we choose.
Yes.
And for some lucky people, those are the same people. Mm-hmm. For the rest of us, those are different people.
Mm-hmm.
And so oftentimes we are moving on to choosing different and newer and better and healthier relationships is critically important. But to that point, Jill, I encourage you, if holiday season is a painful time for mm-hmm. you, and you keep doing the same painful things over and over, I'm going to give you permission to wipe the slate clean.
Right. Or having the same false hopes, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Right. And try on new traditions.
Mm-hmm.
Try on things that work for you. I was talking about this with Thanksgiving. My wife and I tried on bowling for Thanksgiving.
Ooh.
And it works really
well.
It works well.
Okay.
We even took off turkey and put on tri-tip and we like that more. And so we make it work for us. We make it work for the people around us. So make this holiday season what you need to make it. So, all right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Kim in Boise, Idaho, listening on KBXL. Kim, are you there?
Hi, yes, I'm here.
All right, talk to us.
Are you able to hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I am calling because I have a very long history of depression, and in 2008, anxiety decided to come on board, and I had a lot to do with the downturn in the economy and getting laid off and going back to school as an older adult, blah, blah, blah. And I've had lots of counseling over the years, and I understand much of why I think the way I think and do the things that I do. I want to be able to have trusting relationships in my life. I want to be able to trust them, respect them, honor them, and have a relationship of kindness, you know, mutually between me and them. But I have a very difficult time establishing that in my life, and a lot of it goes back to a lot of the trust that I should have had in people have been broken. And my coping skills, probably my whole life, which I think probably goes back to trying to please people, trying to be good enough, trying to earn that respect, that trust, that love. My coping skills seem to be give of myself, which really leads to a lot of burnout and a lack of good self-care.
Well,
because I'm doing too much for
other people. Can I jump in here real quickly?
Sure.
You have built a distrusting relationship with yourself.
True.
Right? You can't trust yourself if you extend beyond your limitations, if you extend beyond your values to seek the approval, attention, comfort, or connection with other people. But what you've done is you've disconnected with yourself. You've betrayed yourself to be able to do that.
And how so?
Well, because there, underneath all of that is a belief about yourself that is probably like, I have to become something other than I am for people to fill in the blank, for people to love me, care for me, connect with me.
But at the same time, you're also controlling unknowingly both sides of the relationship.
Yeah, go
right?
into that.
If I overgive, then the other person will have to accept me and love me, right? So it's like you're trying to control the outcome. And what it does is it doesn't leave room for the other person to come to the party. Because you're doing so much and you're handling all sides. It's like playing tennis with yourself, right? They can't get in and hit the ball back. But it's really scary when you have these feelings like you were describing, Chris, right? To sit back and say, but will they move towards me?
And when we give at the level you've been giving, Kim, we tend to build up a resentment as because that's we're good. So mad, we're giving so much. And so we get an edge to us that's very difficult for other people to be around. I am a people pleaser in recovery also, Kim. And so when we come back, we're going to talk about risking in relationship, risking giving no's to people, and how you develop the muscle to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's really good. So, Kim, we're going to be right back after this. Again, as I mentioned before, the Emotional Freedom Workshop, one day online, coming up January 22nd. And so, also I want to mention, Every Man's Battle is coming up January 7th through the 9th in Washington, D.C. Hey, if you sign up by December 27th, you save $200. So, get into the help you need. We'll be back right after that.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. We're talking with Kim in Boise, Idaho. Kim, I like how you said this, even though I don't like the experience at all, that anxiety decided to jump on the depression bus.
Well, but that does make sense.
But they work together.
Yeah, because they're often, you know, the depression, it's interesting because as people actually, as depression lifts and they heal, then often they're left with the anxiety that was being depressed down. And certainly with what happened in 2008, that would shift your focus from the past to the future.
Yes, yeah.
Which would cause a lot of anxiety for you, right? And then sometimes it's like, oh, give me that depression back because I know how to be in that mode, right?
No.
So, Kim, part of the healing steps that tend to work very well involve getting into group work. Mm-hmm. And it can be tough to find a group that's a good fit. So if you're going to, be prepared that you've got to stay with it longer than is comfortable, and you may have to try out a variety of groups. Then you start to share your real opinions with people. I remember, Kim, being in a group, and I decided that night I was going to share my political opinions.
Ooh,
Kim,
risky.
I was terrified. I might get kicked out of the group. But it's taking little risks that seem silly, but that wasn't silly to me. That was very frightening to me. And it's in building that up, that ability to do that, to say no. I'll add in one other quick example. Kim, the first time I said no to my mother's request, I almost fell over myself.
There you go. Yep.
Because I want to please the people around me. But God's standard is that we please Him before we please other people, and that we give honest yeses and honest no's. Otherwise, we're really faking it, even though we don't mean to. We're being disingenuous in the way we give to people.
That's really good. Yeah. Along those lines, Alice, you know, I like the term, that doesn't work for me. It's my favorite boundary term.
I love that. Yeah.
But it's really key that we first understand, again, as a recovering people pleaser, oftentimes in relapse,
yes,
is that I have to know what works for me to say that that doesn't work for me. So it means I must connect to my own needs, my own wants, my own desires. And not that they're right and true all the time, but I at least need to start with valuing them, that they're real and that they matter because I matter. And so once we start mattering for ourselves, it actually teaches other people that if I'm going to relate to that person, I need to respect their mattering, meaning their value, how they show up.
We become more attractive to people as we go through this process, but it's hard to believe that because if I'm contrary to other people around me, they'll reject me, surely. Well, some do. But
some
actually,
do because they're not used to that in a person, right? And so it takes a little time, but the ones that really will lean in, those are the ones worth having relationship with, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And Kim, what I want to encourage you to do is the first step I want you to do is definitely get into group work. That it is so incredibly powerful.
Especially since you've done a lot of other work. It's a totally different dynamic.
Absolutely. Secondly, find a person in your life that you think, man, that is a healthy person. I would like to be like them. And ask them to mentor you. And that starts with, hey, can I buy you a cup of coffee? You go out for a cup of coffee and you just tell them, hey, I see how you do these things. I see how you do relationships or life. And I really admire that. And I'm really working through becoming more of that type of a person.
And I really respect that suggestion, and I have tried to find people within my church who I felt like could be that person. And to be quite honest, it's been challenging. I don't think our society does that. I don't know, maybe it's just my experiences, but I don't think they do that as well as maybe once upon a time, or it's just challenging to find another person who understands the value of that.
You might need a sponsor rather than just someone in the congregation where there's an official relationship set up, but it can be more intimate and with more frequent contact.
Yeah,
than
in
a
the
therapist.
12-step community. I think you're really right, Kim. It used to be, you know, discipleship was really pushed in the church years ago, and not so much anymore. So to find someone to disciple you or mentor you is harder, but in the 12-step community, they do it really well.
Incredibly well.
Yes, yes. And so finding...
And that's probably a good idea for me, yeah. It requires that vulnerability, which I think I'm capable of doing at this point in my life. But it's painful. You know, it's very challenging to get to that place where you're willing to be that vulnerable with another person who... might end up hurting you all over again. But I think when you seek out a 12-step program, everybody's there for the same reason.
Yes,
they've experienced it. They've struggled through it, you know, and it's not their intention. Let me say one thing, and maybe you can help me overcome this stigma that I have in my mind about the word codependent. I think people would label me as being codependent, and I hate that word.
Let me jump in because I'm about to come up against a break. I don't like that word either.
Yeah.
So let me clarify this. Codependent just means any relationship I'm in where I have to give up an essential part of me to be in it, or where I'm relying solely on other people to feel good about myself. It's basically this. I walk into a room with a thermometer and I'm taking my temperature through other people's mouths, determining if I am okay or not. So we want you to take your own temperature, know that you're okay. We're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. Check out our Emotional Freedom Workshop. It is going to really help you with that. And we'll be back right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life Member Thank You Gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life Grocery Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. Chris Williams in studio with Dr. Alice Benton, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and the illustrious Larry Sonnenberg.
Illustrious.
It's a little better than the last time I was on with you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm trying to
make up.
So I know where my bread
He's
is buttered. So.
Yeah.
You know, last time I was on with three of you, we talked about hope. And I was thinking since then about a couple of the really good testimonies that have just stuck with me that give me hope and encouragement day by day. I want to read one and just reference a couple others, because this is why we seek your support. This is what's happening when people listen to the radio, find a group, go to a workshop, read a resource, you know, all the things that we try to help people with. But this one has always touched me. I've read it a couple times on radio the last few months. Your ministry keeps me from walking around with a basket full of tears, from huddling in my bed in a fetal position, from lashing out at my kids with anger. Your ministry is literally my lifeline right now in the pain and suffering, a lifeline to God's word, a lifeline to sadness and loss. Your job is keeping people sane and functioning during extreme hardships and crisis. Your job is saving people's lives. New Life is saving people's lives. Maybe not like a medical doctor, but spiritually and mentally. Mm-hmm. You all are helping save my life from where I could be to where I need to go. You know, when you think about somebody like that, that's what else can we do to make people feel, not just feel better, but to be better, mm-hmm. and to experience God's love and mercy and grace. And that's what we want to do. And it made me think of, I'm just going to reference these, I'm not going to read them. One lady referenced this as the Navy SEALs of nursing, and she was going to give $490 because we give 70 times 7 in grace.
Wow.
Oh. And another lady, this one, folks, this is for you who have never given or have always thought about it, but just haven't stepped over the line. She had listened since the Minerith Meyer days.
Wow.
That's 20-plus years ago. Mm-hmm. And she said that she's been wanting to give for a while, but listening to on the radio, but something that we said touched her and put her across the line. Mm. You know, if you've been listening for a long time, if you've been every day is your lunch hour or however you listen, and you just think you're really enjoying this, well, it will be an immense help if you make a gift at your end, a very generous gift at your end, that would enable us to just keep it going with what this country is up against, with all the nonsense between COVID, politics, racial things. We don't get into those specific items, but we get into what causes people to be upset, concerned, mm-hmm. fearful, anxious, to see if we could get them to...
All the stuff underneath.
Yeah, to the stuff underneath, to mm-hmm. experience God's real grace and healing. Mm-hmm. So if you make a gift, thank you. If you have been giving or have made a gift recently, God bless you and thank you. And just help us to finish the year strong and kick off the year in a real good position. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you again for everything that you do. And we're going to go right back to the phones. We're going to go to Marie in Boston, Massachusetts, listening on WEZE. Marie, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem.
Well, thank you. Well, my question is it ungodly that I stopped talking to my mother-in-law, and I'm going to be seeing her next weekend, and I don't know how to if I should say hi. I don't know what to do when I see her because she's been verbally abusive since I haven't been working. I am a nurse, but I do have sickle cell anemia, and my husband knew that I had the disease since I was born, and he knew from the get-go. But now it's been a year since I haven't been able to work, and I'm at home, and she's calling me lazy, and she said I could work, but I've tried to work all the time, and I've been in and out of the hospital taking blood transfusions. So I said, no, let me take a break to see how am I doing. But she's very disrespectful, calling me lazy, and you can work and things like that. Is it okay that I just stop talking to her?
Have you confronted her on it? That her comments and her criticism is hurtful?
Very hurtful.
Yeah.
And invalidating.
Yeah, but the thing is, yes, and she has been doing things before, but I've been ignoring her because that we were raised to just respect elders and disregard what they say. But now I just feel like I can't. I've been confronting her for other things because my husband is Caucasian and I'm black, and she has some issues with that too, but I never paid attention. But right now, just because I know I am sick, I really feel like I cannot work, and she cannot understand that, and calling me lazy is hurting me.
And Marie, how has your husband handled it? How has he intervened on your behalf?
in the beginning, he wasn't saying anything, but lately, he told his mom, you know, and my mother-in-law said, whose money are you spending sitting at home doing nothing? And then that's when he said, Mom, it is not whose money, it's our money. So Vivian is spending our money, so don't talk to her like that and don't be calling her lazy.
And as you both have confronted your mother-in-law, has she responded with any repentance or acknowledgement whatsoever?
No. No, she said the only reason I feel like that, maybe I'm guilty that I'm not working. Maybe she has pressed a button. She never apologized. Never.
Yeah. So Maria, I think you have your answer here in the sense that she doesn't seem capable of being different for you guys. She doesn't seem at this time. You know, I don't want to determine that for her in your future, but at this time, she's shown you who she is and how harmful she is to you. And even your relationship with your husband.
Well, and Marie, I'm thinking you probably have some understanding, perhaps, of what her life has been like and where this resentment. She seems to be resentful and hostile towards you. And did she have to work her whole life? I mean, because even if you weren't sick, there are lots of women that stay home. Right?
Yes.
I mean, maybe not as many anymore, but still, that used to be something in the Christian community that people really looked to
as a good thing. Personally, you know, in our house during this particular season, my wife has stayed home and I've obviously continued to work.
And she doesn't have the excuse of being sick?
No, but right? regardless, if someone ever said to us or to my wife, whose money are you spending?
Yeah.
I hope to goodness that she would answer our money that God has entrusted us to.
Yeah.
Do you hear that? Because all of this is demeaning to you. It's diminishing to you.
Yeah.
You know,
but it comes from someone who has her own issues that are getting in the way of really being a caring person.
So, Marie, as you wonder, do I just cut off all communication with her? I would caution you
to
consider, how far do you need to take it to protect your heart? Because sometimes we can cut off a lot of time and communication, but we might still see each other on a holiday. I might be polite. I might say hello.
Yes.
But if we determine I'm never speaking with her again, that's not actually healthy for us either. Mm-hmm. So we decide I'm going to protect my heart in these ways when I ever see some real change on the part of my mother-in-law. And especially if you have children or intend to have children, it's good to both be protective of that family unit from a toxic mother-in-law, but you may want to keep some small channel open for the sake of your marriage and for the sake of the family at large.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And asking, I mean, I'm glad your husband has stepped up, and I really think it's his role to intervene for you. Right?
Yeah.
And that you don't get into anything with her. Like you said, you kind of just exchange.
Yeah.
Polite social niceties, right? And let him be the one to speak up on your behalf.
And I'll add this. You know, Marie, sickle cell anemia is not anything to mess around with.
No.
Obviously, as a nurse, you know that. As a person who suffers from it, you know that. And what I would encourage...
Yes, and I'm a nurse as well.
Yeah, And what I would encourage the people around you, now, whether your mother-in-law can do this or not, I doubt she could, but... is for them to get educated on what this is, what it means for you, and what you're experiencing, and how critically important it is for you to protect your health and you to protect the treatments that keep you showing up in the world.
Yeah.
We want to advocate for you. We want you to advocate for yourself because it's not as well known, but it is much more prevalent, as we know, in African-American communities. And it's just really important that we, again, make sure that we protect the health and the treatment of those who are going through that. If this is for everyone out there. If you have someone going through a medical condition and you don't know about it, ask them about it and do some research. Get to know what it is to be like them, to suffer with this, and also to protect them. So it's really important we do that. Marie, thank you for calling in. We're going to send you a copy of Boundaries.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, welcome back to New Life Live. Again in studio, Chris Williams. That's me. That happens to be me. Dr. Alice Benton. Dr. Jill Hubbard. So, all right. By the way, I really enjoy hanging out with you guys.
Yeah,
it is so much fun.
I don't enjoy it quite so much.
Alice has to grin and bear it, but we appreciate her grinning and bearing it. So, well, hey, let's talk to one more person. Let's talk to Suzanne in Manhattan, New York, listening on Sirius XM. Suzanne, are you there?
Hi, yes, I am. I can't believe I got on. Yay.
You're on. Yay. Yay for us. Tell us what's going on.
I called you guys several months ago, and I was like a last-second call, so I'm glad I got a few more minutes. Anyway, I called about 6 months ago about my marriage and my husband's anger. Mm. And so, to make a long story short, I separated. I left the 1st of November. Mm. And so my question is, I've been working with my own counselor and a coach from Leslie Vernick Ministries.
Oh, sure. Oh, good,
over
good.
A year and a half. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, so it was a big deal for me to make this step. You know, work towards it, right? So now my husband is all apologetic, and I'm going to get help, and he's seeing a biblical counselor, which I'm not very happy with, because it's just like, read Ephesians 5 and you're better.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And but he's, you know, whatever, trying to work on some of his anger. My husband is dying to get, originally I just said 6 months, you got to work on you. I'll keep working on me. But he's pressuring me. Like, and I feel like we're kind of out in the open. I don't know the rules when you separate. Do you talk? Do you not talk? Do you, you know, what do you do?
Uh-huh.
So I've been trying to keep distant, and yet, okay, because I think it's probably too soon to jump in to go, okay, let's work on all the underlying issues in our marriage if the anger issue hasn't been addressed.
Yes.
So my question is there a time frame that I should be expecting him and myself to be working before you even start that, or should we kind of go meet somebody now and just get coaching to say, hey...
So, Suzanne, can I change the focus of that altogether? So I would throw right now a timeline out the window.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because time does not... Despite our cliches, time does not cure everything. Or oftentimes...
People can do time.
Yes.
Time passes.
Yeah. So...
That's true.
What I would be... I would... Seems like he wants to keep communication open. And I think... Sounds like it's not abusive. It's not damaging. So, okay, keep the lines of communication open. I want you to keep asking him the same question.
Mm-hmm.
And the same question is this... What have you discovered about your anger and how it shows up in our relationship and how it damages you and me?
Okay, that's a good question.
And that's it. Because again, if he has not resolved that, you know, like you said, it keeps you in a dangerous situation.
Yeah. I think it's okay to be talking, and if you need some parameters, then maybe you set up a time where a couple times a week you guys check in and you talk about what you're each learning. But I would let him know, to the degree that he's pressuring you to get back in and the focus is on that, is the degree that you realize he's not working on himself.
Yeah, pressure is controlling. It's a way to control you.
That's his focus. And what you want to hear is like what Chris is saying, what he's learning, what insights, how is he using this time, not just biting his nails, figuring out a way to get back in the house.
Suzanne, you can also set the standard that he needs to ask for a basically a report from his clinician of what are they working on, what's the game plan, and how does his clinician think he's doing. And that report helps inform whether or not a third party thinks he's increasing in safety or not. And, of course, you have to determine if you trust the report. But that's a good way to get an outside perspective. You can also test the waters, where right now he's pressuring you, not a good sign. Perhaps at some point you have a little phone call and you see how he treats you in the phone call, or you join his session or he joins your session, and you can back away from that or you can move in closer. And I have found 6 months sounded like such a long time to me, Suzanne, when I was working with couples in similar situations. But experience tells me it's a drop in the bucket, especially if there have been decades of abusive anger. 6 months is nothing to see change and to decide if they're going to consistently continue with the change.
So would it be not a good thing if I agreed to meet with a marriage therapist at this point and still continue, like, working on myself? Or should we give more time to that? Because he's saying on the phone, he is saying, like, oh, I realized you had a crazy father, put a gun to his head. He's learning, you know, that the anger comes from his father was really not a good guy. And so he's showing some insight.
Good. Well, I'm not opposed to you guys doing marital therapy along with your own work, right? Because it could be a place where, I'll meet with you with the therapist.
Yeah.
And you can always stop or put a pause to it
if it's not working. But you can say, let's set up an initial appointment and we'll try it and see.
Yeah.
But that may give him something to hold on to and to feel like, okay, she's not completely out the door. She's willing to work with me, and, you know, motivation to do his own work.
Absolutely. And Suzanne, you need to know that he is changing, and he needs to know that you're changing. And here's what I mean. You're not putting up with that stuff any longer.
Right.
You know,
Me leaving kind of showed that to him.
Absolutely.
I've been married 7 years, but I think it showed him that I wasn't going to take it. And to be honest, I'm scared to even think about going back because I don't trust. He's missing me. He's like, you know, it's all emotional right now.
Well, and that's what I want to say is that's it. We want you to trust what you're feeling right now. If you're not safe to go back, I don't care if that's perceived or real. Treat it real. Okay? Then
so the
it's not.
Is like a control issue.
It's
right?
Exactly.
Like, well, he's scared.
Yeah.
He's afraid. So it's all about him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. It's all about his anxiety and fears of abandonment.
And Suzanne, you know from listening to the show that we see much too frequently when women go back too quickly because the man is saying the right words, but it's only been a month. That's no time whatsoever.
Or a day. Or a week.
Well, I signed a year lease, so I can't go back.
Well, perfect. Awesome. You want to honor the lease and honor yourself. And again, he needs to experience you as you are strengthening your own work, is strengthening your value, your boundaries, what you will accept and what you won't accept. And so, And that could be very dangerous for him, meaning that, like, when you won't put up with certain things, he could react. There's a lot of work that has yet to be done, a lot.
I know.
Of that inner healing. So we want to make sure that you're in a safe place, that he's in a safer place, but together, not yet.
Yeah.
So sure, couples therapy, and make sure that in the couples therapy, you're not letting go of your own work.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to find, a really good marriage therapist.
It is. We'll stay online. We'll see if we have someone in your area. We're coming up to the end of the show. We're going to send you a copy of Boundaries in Marriage, and I think that that'll be very helpful to you. Thank you for calling in. Everyone, thank you for being a part of our day. It's an honor to be a part of yours, and we will see you on
the
other side.
Listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.